Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:36 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is November 26th, and today we saw a reasonably meaningful move on Wall Street, with the Nasdaq up about 2%, then the Dow and the S&P up over 1%. But the retailers were, I think, one of the standouts here, because there is really no indication that sales are slowing down. In fact, I think it's reasonable to expect that the vast majority of retailers in this quarter are going to have a blowout holiday season, for the simple reason that the economy is still strong. People are enjoying their tax cuts. They have more money in their pockets as a result of the tax cuts and because of the decline in oil prices. And that it's likely to be a very happy holiday season for a large number of people. And yet, the retailer sector has pulled back rather aggressively. When we look at, for example, the shares of Best Buy, well, Best Buy has been streamlining its inventory and certainly been more attuned to the environment. It's been trending higher for 2 years, and yet it pulled back by approximately 30% over the course of the last few weeks. While it is oversold, even in a bear market scenario, it could revert back to the mean, which would represent a reasonable advance here. Thinking of companies that could revert back to the mean. Well, Nvidia is now 50%, could rally by 50% and still then only approximate the region of the trend mean. So that is, I think, an indication of just how oversold conditions are. Well, then there is the additional fact that if we've been talking about rotation now for at least the last couple of months, and Apple is continuing to unwind its or at least when we think about it in terms of its outperformance, that it had done so very well into the latter half of this year, then it has been pulling back rather aggressively. Now, it is oversold in the short term, but what is particularly interesting here is that Apple has a market cap of 828 million. Microsoft, by virtue of the fact that it did not pull back by nearly to the same extent and has subsequently bounced from the region of the trend mean, is at 822 million. Well, that is holding out the prospect of a change of leadership in terms of the world's largest company. Well, of course, the other one that was sitting as the potential usurper of Apple was Amazon, and it's up $80 in here today, well, just about. And that's pushing it now back above this $1,500 area. Well, just as we can see for the Nasdaq or for a number of those other indices, there is still this progression of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of September, and there is a short-term oversold condition. So the most likely scenario in the short term is that we're going to see an unwinding of that short-term oversold condition. Then the big question will be whether we can see some of these major indices push back above their respective trend means. What is certainly so that the short term is looking increasingly likely that we're going to see a bounce. The medium term, we have this loss of momentum. We have much larger pullbacks than we've seen over the course of the last few years. This is a trend in consistency. It remains to be seen whether we're going to see these indices push back above their respective trend means. That's going to be the big arbiter of whether this is a medium-term correction or a topping formation. So that we certainly it's too early to make that designation just yet. I continue to think, though, that we are more likely to see additional ranging support building over the course of the next few months, and probably some evidence of additional bouts of volatility. But corporate profits broke out in the middle of this year, and the chances are that they're going to be that when they're updated again, that they'll be strong in the third quarter and even stronger for the fourth quarter. But Wall Street is intent on concluding that this is as good as it's going to get, that the Federal Reserve has raised rates 8 times, that we're coming, I think it's approximating what could be considered a neutral level, that there has been a significant amount of liquidity taken out of the market, And there is an interesting chart I've got in here today that is going to highlight just that we are in a what could be considered a neutral environment. That, generally speaking, you don't tend to see the U.S. taking money out of the system all that often. Now, the monetary accommodation that was the response to the credit crisis was incredibly, I think, acute. And but now they are net taking money out of the system. So, generally speaking, this is an unusual set of circumstances, and it's not tolerated by the market particularly well. So, it's usually at that point that they start to cut again, or at least pause. So, there is the realistic possibility that we have seen about as many interest rate hikes as we're going to. Well, at least the potential is that we're going to get fewer than expected next year, but it is quite likely that they're going to raise rates in December. Well, when we look at the 2 year, it's at 2.83%. There's certainly been a pause going on over the course of the last 7 or 8 weeks, and that's unwinding the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. Well, this is still a reasonably consistent advance, and really a sustained move below the trend mean would require to really question that this isn't still a supply-dominated environment. And when we look at the 10-year Treasury yield, this is continuing to respond to the fact that there is an awful lot of additional supply that needs to come to market in December. So that 3% level is a rather important area of resistance for the 10-year government bond yield. But it also represents the upper side of the underlying base formation. This, I think, is 3% now for 10-year Treasury yields is a bit of a Rubicon. If we do see that the yield holds this level and continues to move higher, well, then we're going to become progressively closer to having an outright evidence of trend di or the long-term trend having been broken. And it is an awfully long trend. It isn't going to be broken in the space of a couple of days or weeks, but that it is akin to turning an oil tanker, that it takes a rather long time to do so. And when we look at oil, well, the Brent crude price was up about $1.70 in here today, but that unwound about half of the decline it put in on Friday. So this is, at a minimum, another one of these small little ranges that persists for about 8 or 9 sessions before the next decline. It needs to do more than that. It needs to at least rally by about $4 in order to really signal that the consistency of this decline, which has been going on now since the beginning of October, is being questioned. Well, the rather large, I think, divergence between Brent and WTI is certainly on view here, with almost a $10 difference between the two contracts. Well, the WTI contract is down to $50, which is a bit of a psychological level, and it bounced from it again in here today. But again, in the very short term, these have got very similar chart patterns, and that sequence of ranges, one below another, would need to be broken in order to really confirm that we are in back in a demand-dominated environment. But there is the additional point that with this decline in oil prices, then regular people are going to have a lot more money in their pockets on a week-to-week basis, or at least perhaps not a lot more money, but certainly more money in their pockets on a week-to-week basis, as we head into the holiday season. Then, of course, there is the additional point that this is the time when people start to think about a Santa Claus rally. So that's also got to be taken into consideration, that this is a seasonally bullish period for markets, and we do have short-term oversold conditions. And I think it's worth highlighting that the S&P 500 is potentially now putting in a higher reaction low. So if it can follow through on the upside, then we can say that the low for the reaction was back in February, that certainly we've been treated to a great deal of volatility, but that there is a sequence of higher reaction lows within this range. And the VIX index, which has been putting in first step above the base characteristics now since the beginning of October, was in negative territory in here. And when we look at the Nasdaq's volatility, well, that had been pushing higher in a more aggressive manner over the course of the last few weeks, but it was also in negative territory in here. The VXN has been ranging below 30 for the last 6 years, and even back in February and March, that it didn't sustain a move above the 30 area for more than a week. So now that it has tested it once more, perhaps the potential is that it is going to come back down and test the 20 area. That's obviously a hopeful prognostication because we don't have any evidence of that just yet, but we certainly have a lot of oversold conditions in the technology sector, and valuations have improved, and the market is pricing in recession. Well, in the potential that we don't get a worst possible or the worst of all possible scenarios evolving, then we do have potential here for prices to begin to rally. So that is starting to be reflected as well in Europe, where we've seen a bounce on the Euro Stoxx index. The FTSE 100 was also in positive territory and closing back above that psychological 7,000 level. When we look at the mid caps, then the FTSE 250 has also bounced from this 18,500 level, and considering the fact that it was the Russell 2000 had led on the downside, well, it is interesting therefore that it has also posted a higher reaction low in here, and it is oversold in the short term. So we're getting a little bit of at least a pause and potentially some support building in here at the lower side of its range. Then the other index that really did stand out today was Hong Kong, and the Hang Seng has pushed back above the 26,000 area, and it's at right at the upper side of its range. And we've certainly seen the index trend lower just about all year, and it is oversold in the short term, but at least relative to the trend mean. But it needs to do more now. It needs to push back up into that overhead trading range, and most particularly back above the trend mean to confirm that we have support that's got more than short-term duration behind it. But I think what was interesting today was that the Hang Seng was in positive territory, whereas the mainland shares were in negative territory. And they have confirmed resistance in the region of that lower side of that overhead trading range. So it really does need to push back above that 2800 point level to really confirm that we have a break in that medium-term downtrend. And the H share index was also in mildly positive territory in here today. It hasn't pulled back by as much as the Hang Seng over the last few weeks. It's closer to the lower side of that overhead trading range. In fact, that it's back up inside it. So there is potential here that we could be seeing support building with a view to additional upside starting to come through in the Chinese market, and not least because it is trading at a significant discount and people are starting to look at emerging markets generally. Well, for example, when we look at Vietnam, that it has been largely range bound now since July and is firming from the region of those July lows. Well, this entire corrective phase followed what was a really very clear acceleration last year, and it's unwound about half of the advance put in since the breakout in 2016, and this is a natural area where we could anticipate some support starting to come through. Then when we look at Indonesia, then the Jakarta Composite is starting to push back up above that 6,000 level. In Brazil, the Bovespa index was in mildly negative territory in here today, but It is a little overbought, and it is right in the region of that 90,000 area, so it's not beyond the bounds possibility that we do get some consolidation. But I think a lot of investors will be looking at the fact that the real was in sharply negative territory in here today, and that suggests that we are going to see some additional volatility. Well, one thing that we can clearly say is that it's among the currencies that have had the biggest sell-offs, where we have the most oversold conditions, where people are starting to get interested once more. Now, the Turkish lira, having accelerated down to 7, has almost completely unwound its overextension relative to the trend mean. So we're now approaching really the first area of meaningful resistance for the lira. Well, the Istanbul 100 has been ranging below the trend mean now for most of the last few months. So that's going to obviously be influenced by just how well the lira can hold its advance. The chances are that basically when we look back at the history of the lira, that there have been acute bouts of volatility where it has had these very swift depreciations, and generally speaking, those are followed by 18-month to 3-year periods of ranging. Well, considering just how much the currency did decline and so how quickly that happened, it's quite likely we're going to see some ranging. And if that is in fact the case, well, that should be positive for asset prices in Turkey from a foreign investor's perspective. And it's a pretty similar story for the Argentine peso. Well, Argentina's peso is coming back to test this 40 area. Well, obviously it needs to hold it if the ranging perspective is to be given the benefit of the doubt. But there is a big difference between the Argentine peso and the Turkish lira, and it is that since the depreciations started in 2013, the periods of ranging have been getting progressively shorter. So it is arguable whether the acceleration we've seen so far in Argentina is in fact over. And that it is, I think we're starting to see also evidence that the Argentine economy is in recession. That's going to, I think, at least weigh on the central bank's ability to continue to raise interest rates. And at 70%, it's arguable just how much higher they can raise them. Then the South African rand has been strengthening through the 14 area, but it was in negative territory in here today. So when we start to string all of this together, well, what we've seen over the course of today has been a fair amount of dollar strength, that Wall Street is starting to attract interest again, that there are oversold conditions evident right across Wall Street, and that is starting to attract interest. The fact is that the Federal Reserve is likely to raise rates in December. Quite whether they continue to do so after that is very much open to question, but there aren't many other central banks that are raising interest rates. And then when we look at the dollar index, well, the fact of the matter is that we had an upside key reversal last week, and now it's falling through on the upside. It has held its progression of higher reaction lows since September. It's held the break above 96, and it does look like it is going to move higher from here. When we look at it on a weekly basis, the next area of meaningful resistance is at 100. Well, it has paused at 100 on 3 occasions and previously, so that is obviously then going to be a significant area where people will be asking questions. But in between now and then, it does look likely that we're going to see an additional dollar rally. Well, what that also suggests is that when we look at emerging markets and the fact that their assets are certainly trading at a discount and valuations have improved, that we may not yet be at a point where it is entirely a triple green light, but rather that this is probably a time to be starting to think about what one's shopping list might be. Well, India, having pulled back rather sharply and now is pausing in the region of the trend mean, is certainly benefiting from the weakness in the oil price. But even here, the rupee, having rallied impressively now for most of November, is looking a little bit overbought in the very short term. And That's particularly true considering that it has unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. The fact is that the central bank has been trying to contain the banking sector, and certainly when we look at the performance of the banks, the majority of them, well, I think that's it's not really correct to talk about the majority of them. That some of those that have pulled back most aggressively, like Axis Bank, or sorry, Axis Bank has not pulled back. I think it's probably better to just look at the constituents, because I'm starting to confuse myself. There has been a great deal of variability in terms of the performance of the banks because they have been on the or the way in which the central bank has targeted the financial sector has not been equally weighted, but rather has focused very closely on some of the private sector banks. Axis Bank, as a private sector bank, has been spared to a certain extent. Yes Bank pulled back extraordinarily violently, and now the question is whether this is support building. Pulled back in here today, but it is holding the sequence of higher reaction lows, at least so far. But it also has a sequence of lower rally highs. So we do need to see that broken in order to really confirm that this is support building. But we have seen a meaningful pullback, 400 to 200, in fact, 400 to about 175 in the space of about 8 weeks was an incredibly violent pullback, and suggests that a lot of bad news was priced in an awful hurry. And when we then go back and look at the index, well, the index suggests that there's not a great deal to worry about, and it has pushed back above the trend mean right now. Well, then when we think about the bank that has approximated the performance of the index most closely, it's ICICI. And need to type in the correct ticker in order to get the chart, but ICICI pushed on to new high ground 2 weeks ago, and now it is holding this move above the 350 rupee area. So that does suggest that there are clear winners and losers out of this attempt by the central bank to contain some of the speculation within the banking sector. Well, I think that when we think about where we are in terms of the stock market cycle, well, I think there's plenty of evidence that we are late in the cycle. But I think the big question that, and we will certainly know the answer probably by the end of December, is whether this market is going to finally accelerate to a significant peak before the next recession, or whether we're going to get a rollover in terms of the are we going to get this loss of momentum turning into a top formation? I think that the jury is out because the US economy is still doing fine. If the Federal Reserve stops raising interest rates and pauses, well, then that is likely to lend some additional fuel. On the other hand, when central banks start cutting interest rates, it's usually only in response to a slowing environment, and they're usually pretty behind the pace of the slowing in the economy to really have an instant effect. So if they pause, then that would probably be good news. On the other hand, on the very off chance that they start cutting interest rates, well, that would be, I think, representative of fear on behalf of the central bank. So they have a pretty tough, I think, environment in front of them. What I thought was also interesting in here today was gold, because having rallied over the course of the last while, it is obviously susceptible to a stronger dollar, but it is holding its own relative to a dollar which has been rallying on almost consecutive days. Well, as a monetary metal, gold tends to do best when it is rallying in all currencies. That's not the case right now, but it is certainly appreciating in most. And that's likely, I think, to that's probably going to, I think, represent a period of support building for gold prices. for as long as the dollar remains the strongest currency in the world. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.